The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
This is Rachel Goes Rogue.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Rachel Goes Rogue. I'm your host, Rachel Savannah Levis. Today, we will be talking about forgiveness. This is a theme that keeps reappearing on Vanderpump Rules, and it's something that I've been working through in my personal life. I think that forgiveness is simple yet complicated. And it took me a while to be willing to forgive myself. I've noticed on this season of Vanderpump Rules, a lot of the cast members will be asking another person for forgiveness or saying like, oh, I'm still waiting for an apology from this person. So I think that dynamic is interesting. Like, is forgiveness something you can just ask for from somebody else? What if somebody did cross a serious boundary and you're not willing to forgive them? Then what happens? I have a guest. Her name is Dr. Pia, and you may know her from Lifetime's Married at First Sight. Dr. Pia is a psychotherapist who specializes in working through relationship issues. Welcome, Dr. Pia.
Hello, Rachel. Nice to meet you.
Today, we're going to be talking about forgiveness, and I feel like it's a complex process. It seems simple, but I think that maybe you could give us some more clarity on what forgiveness really is, and we can dive into some of these questions.
Sure. Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm excited and happy to be here. And yes, forgiveness is totally complex. I think first and foremost, a lot of people perhaps have a negative reaction to forgiving someone because there's this idea that that means we're now like justifying whatever that behavior was or whatever their actions were, or perhaps maybe it's a character trait or a personality trait. But the reality is that forgiveness is truly for ourselves, for us to be able to have our own peace, because if we're holding on to something, well, now this is coloring our mood and how we show up in the world. So I think that the first thing that we must do is recognize that we are forgiving for our own gain and for our own benefit and not necessarily for that other person. And it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive, because perhaps when you do forgive, now you've mended a relationship with someone else, or it does benefit the dynamics. Though number one priority is to have a better overall mental state for yourself.
Definitely. I've seen people hold grudges in the past, and I've just seen how that eats away at them. And mm-hmm. when I don't know, just growing up and stuff, I decided that I don't want to be like that. And I want to be able to forgive somebody if they've done something wrong and they seem to be remorseful. But then I feel like maybe some people have taken advantage of that, because I do have that empathy. So what would your advice be to somebody who is more empathetic and does forgive more easily?
Yeah. So, I mean, you're bringing up a great point of you don't want it to be that now this is like a manipulation tactic of, oh, I know that I can always do whatever and Rachel's just going to forgive me, because that speaks to a larger issue. Perhaps the antidote to that is then boundary setting. That's then data for you of, wow, okay, I keep forgiving this person. They keep taking advantage of it. They keep doing the same thing. Well, what are you really forgiving then? Or what are they truly apologizing for if they're doing the same behavior? So that's the situation where you can put the boundary in place of, well, I'm forgiving them for my own sake, though I recognize that they're going to continue in this pattern and this behavior. And perhaps now I need to have a boundary up where maybe our relationship looks different. Maybe our relationship has to end, but that boundary has to be put in place because now it's no longer I'm giving this person grace because they always make mistakes, or we all make mistakes as humans rather, and more so they're doing this because they know that I will still be around.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. What happens if somebody forgives someone before they're really ready? Like if somebody was very quick to be like, oh, that's okay, but deep down they weren't quite ready or didn't process through that?
Yeah, I think that that's a sign that we're not listening to our gut or our intuition, right? And sometimes we have the personality styles where we don't want to have any kind of conflict with people. So we just, it kind of like is like, you know, word vomit. Oh, I'm sorry. It's okay. Don't worry about it, right? It just immediately comes out without even processing or thinking. Yeah. Because I don't want to have any beef with this person, or, you know, I don't want to be considered like conflict or dramatic. So I'm just saying it to say it, essentially, kind of like the people who just apologize before they even realize what they're apologizing for. You're just saying it to say it. And that sets you up for failure in your relationships, because if you don't really know why you're forgiving someone, you might not actually be in a place where you are truly forgiving them, right? Because maybe you say, I forgive you, but it comes up again later on in a conversation, or perhaps you start treating them differently. And maybe they're on the other end like, I thought we got over this like 3 months ago. Why is this now coming up again, right? Because you weren't explicit in whatever that forgiveness is, or perhaps you weren't truly embodying forgiveness. Because again, going back to that original point of the forgiveness is supposed to come first for yourself and then secondary, if at all, for the other person. So if you say the words too quickly, you're not giving yourself the benefit of the doubt. You're not giving yourself the opportunity to really examine what's most important to you and why you want to move forward with that person or not. So I think it takes time to reflect. And, you know, that is difficult to do because in the situation, you might be thinking, okay, well, then what do I say? You can say, you know, I need some time to think about this. I need some time to think about this. Like, I want us to be good, or I want things to be okay, but I really just, this is a lot to process at once and I just need some time.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like that could lend to people bringing up the past and holding it over your head. And I've seen this multiple times on this season of Vanderpump Rules. For instance, Tom brought up James's past with Kristen and that relationship and how it unfolded. I think it would kind of circle back to what we were talking about with resentment. What happens when someone harbors resentment? And how do you navigate somebody who claims to forgive but brings up the past as an attack?
Well, then that would be us telling them, well, you haven't truly forgiven, right? Because I think that goes back to you're forgiving for yourself. So when you're forgiving for yourself, you're recognizing I'm letting go of whatever this issue was because it doesn't serve me to hold on to this. Whether this person continues in that behavior or doesn't, I'm making the choice to forgive so that I can go on about my life. When you're bringing up the piece of resentment and the other examples you were giving, the word that comes to mind for me is like the pop psychology word of weaponizing. That person is now like weaponizing that information. Well, you said you forgave, or, you know, this happened in your past, and people are bringing that up in the like inopportune moments, not in a way to be productive or move the conversation forward, but more so to like hold something over your head to like one up you, right? And so this is, to me, sounds like power dynamics. And that's part of where resentment holds too of, do you feel as though that person is having some sort of power over you? That's why there's resentment, right? You want an apology, or you want some sort of different changed behavior from that other person. That's why you're holding on to resentment. You feel so very wronged. And we're personalizing it in that moment then, right? Rather than saying, okay, that is about them. They made those choices because of who they are. They use those words because of who they are. It doesn't matter if it was me, if it was you, if it was Tom, Dick, Harry, Sally, Jane, whomever, right? That's about them. So that's why I say that forgiveness must come from within first, because it's not going to matter how that other person is behaving going forward. And that's how you can ward against resentment, is if you're truly recognizing, I forgive them because I don't want to hold any grudges. I don't want to hold resentment. I don't want this to like continue to live in my head rent free. I've got things to do, right? So I'm doing this so that I can move forward. And then it also has to come with that secondary piece of now setting boundaries. Because if you forgive, even if it's for yourself, but you're still maintaining the same type of relationship with that person and you continue to see them engaging in the same type of behaviors, well, then it doesn't make sense to continue to forgive because you're not able to truly forgive them because it's the same thing happening again. But the hard part in that is setting that hard boundary to change the relationship dynamics. And so whether it's boundary setting, whether it's overcoming resentment, whether it's just forgiveness, it's hard because the work falls on us. Even though at face value, it looks like the work should be on the other person, right? Like they're the ones who wronged us. They're supposed to apologize. They're supposed to make it better. And when in reality, we have no control over other people, we just have the control over ourselves.
Yes. It took me a while to forgive myself because I was beating myself up and, you know, thinking like, how could I put myself in this position? Like, why did I do this? Look at what it's created, and just kind of like getting into a dark place about it. The more I learned about why I was choosing these behaviors and making these decisions and understanding like more of my subconscious programming, I was able to forgive myself for my actions. And I feel like there was a huge accountability piece where I kept telling my therapist, I want to take accountability. I want to take accountability. And ultimately she was like, accountability for you, Rachel, looks like protecting yourself. Mm. But ultimately I am able to forgive myself. And I just rewatched Bethany Frankel's podcast that I was a guest on. And she asked me point blank, do you forgive yourself? And I said, yes. And I was like it was like one of those moments, like looking back at your past self, even if it was only like 6 months ago, and being like, yes, yes, like a proud moment.
Yeah, that's great, you know, because a lot of times we're holding ourselves to an unrealistic standard. And so there can be this fine line between I want to take accountability and also like, let me be real with myself. Like perhaps I was behaving this way because of environmental factors, right? So part of my growth then, or like to your therapist point, part of your protection might be, I need to remove myself from environments where I behave this way, because we're all human. I don't care how many books you've read. I don't care how many degrees we've got. I don't care how many hours of therapy, what medications we're on. Our environment is going to impact us, right? If you poke a bear only but so many times, eventually they're going to attack. Right. And so if we learn more about ourselves, we can learn, okay, when I'm around these type of environments, when I'm around these type of folks, I behave in a way that doesn't feel good to myself, or it becomes too intolerable for me to try to withstand engaging in these environments. It's hard for us to, you know, be the Mother Teresa, so to speak, in unflattering circumstances, or in unhealthy circumstances, or in, you know, dare it be abusive circumstances. But when I hear you say the piece of like the work that you did to forgive yourself, that also helps not only you, but it helps you to be able to forgive others, because you're recognizing the important piece of grace, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, we don't have to necessarily be bad people. Sometimes we can do bad things, right? So that it's no longer just like an attack on someone's character or personality, but it's like someone had a bad day. They did something, just like you've had a bad day. I've had a bad day. And so we learn to forgive ourselves because of those isolated incidents, or if we're able to think about the environment. But there is an important piece of part of forgiveness does absolutely include accountability, which is therefore like naming and taking ownership over whatever the thing was.
Yeah. I'm just thinking back to a moment for me at the Meadows, because it took me a while to process Tom recording me without me knowing. Mm-hmm. And it was so chaotic that I didn't have like that ability to process what just happened. It was like survival mode. And it wasn't until I had my one-on-one trauma therapy sessions in the Meadows that I was able to really start decompressing what he did and how he violated a personal boundary. And I remember telling him on the phone, like, after processing it, like, I don't think that I will be able to forgive you for this. And then, you know, a week later, he's like trying to get me to hire his lawyer and fire my lawyer. And he like had a slip up and he said, the last thing that we need you to do right now is to go rogue. And so I processed that in itself. I did art therapy and I painted out that in conversation. And I had this fantasy of calling him and being like, I've gone rogue, and just hang up the phone and kind of like do that power move. And my therapist is like, well, we're not going to do that. But I guess my question is it okay not to forgive somebody?
I think that that's a tricky question because, again, how can I put it? There's a great book called Radical Forgiveness. And it's much like radical acceptance, if people are familiar with that concept of, we don't have to like it, we don't have to agree with it, but we are accepting that it is reality. Same thing with forgiveness. We don't have to condone the person's behavior. We don't have to like that. Though for our own sanity, I am a believer that we must forgive, again, for ourselves, not for that person. This comes up a lot for me as a psychologist. I deal with a lot of women who have experienced sexual assault, sexual trauma, like developmental, chronic sexual trauma from childhood on. And to be able to say, how in the world could I forgive my perpetrator? Like, that makes no sense, Dr. Peel. Like, that, like, no, I don't forgive them. If we can look to that person as a human, if there is something going on with them. Clearly, if someone is doing something so egregious, that is not about us. That's about something that is going on within them. Whatever that may be, mental health issues, family of origin issues, a combination of all of those things, whatever the case may be. It's about what their experience has been. And the more that we hold on to not forgiving them, the more that trauma, that hurt stays within us. The other piece about that is forgiveness doesn't mean you have to call that person up and say, hey, I forgive you. Or you don't have to write them a letter and say, hey, that could be your own conversation with yourself. That person doesn't even have to ever know that you've forgiven them. But it's more so a piece of, I'm not letting that thing have any bearing on me. So for you, right, the you went rogue is you no longer allowing that to live in your head, right? Like being recorded in most states against your will is actually illegal, not only just like a bad thing or a violation of privacy, right? There's nothing that you did to cause that. And so when you can take yourself out of the scenario and say, okay, that was about that person. I forgive their actions because for whatever reason, they chose to engage in that behavior at this point in time, or they continue to engage in those behaviors. I forgive them for my own sake and my own well-being. I don't even have to ever tell them that I'm forgiving them. The forgiveness allows me to take the power back, because when we don't forgive, that other person is holding power, right? Because we're thinking about it. We're thinking about it in some way, even if it's about revenge, right? Even if it's like, I'm going to get them back. Well, now they're holding power over us, right? And so, and that's the piece for me where I say forgiveness is best to happen in all situations. It doesn't mean that it has to happen immediately. Sometimes it could take decades for that forgiveness to happen, and that's okay. So I wouldn't put a time limit on it, and I wouldn't put any specifications around how that forgiveness is delivered, if at all.
Something that you said in there, you said it was out of my control. How Correct. He took that video without my consent was out of my control, and there was nothing that I could do in that moment. But then I also think back like, well, I shouldn't have been doing anything with him anyway. So then it's a piece of like self-accountability and then forgiving myself for that. Because then, you know, ultimately that's the place where there's so much shame and guilt and pain, obviously with the violation. But mostly shame, I think, because it's one of those acts that you know, it's a private thing you don't want people to know about, first of all. And then second of all, it's just an intimate moment. So mm-hmm. I think, like, what is the line between forgiveness and accountability?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard, right? Because as I'm hearing you say that back to me, I'm like, goodness, you're blaming yourself. We're playing a blame game, right? Of like, I should have known better, or I knew this, so why did I do that? Oftentimes we're operating based off the information we have at the time. I don't know you. I don't know him. I don't know the situation. I highly doubt that if you knew you were going to be recorded, you would have consented to it, or you would have behaved the same way. You didn't know, right? So that's new information. Mm-hmm. Even if you know that person or they've shown you themselves in other scenarios, you didn't know that that event was going to happen. That was new information, right? Now, going forward, if you continue on, we might say, okay, well, what made you think that things would be differently? We still have to blame ourselves because maybe we've forgiven. Maybe we think that person's different. I think it's really hard to kind of continue to point the finger at ourselves. And there is a fine line between taking accountability and wanting to be responsible and do our own self-work, and also recognizing what is the behavior of someone else. And so that's why I say it's important for us to take the time to self-reflect of, do I show up this way all the time? Am I showing up this way in multiple situations and with multiple people? But sometimes, to your earlier point, Rachel, level, people might know that I'm easily to forgive, so they take advantage of that. So they continue to behave in a certain way where you just got rose-colored glasses on. You can't really see it because you're in the moment. Right? But do you behave that way with your best friends, with your sister, with your mother, with, you know, coworkers? And if the answer is no, that's data, right? That's data of, I'm behaving in this way with this particular person. So perhaps I don't need to take accountability for how I was behaving in that situation, and more so recognize this is an unhealthy, perhaps toxic and unsafe environment for me. So I need to remove myself. Rather than focusing on the forgiveness, or rather than focusing on accountability, I need to remove myself so I can even freaking think clearly.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And that's how I'm in the position that I am now.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. This show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
So when it comes to other people, you know, being willing to forgive others and, like, from the outside looking in, what is the line between accountability and forgiveness there? Because I think a lot of people aren't willing to forgive. Mm-hmm. And people, I mean, not to always bring it back to me, but just from drawing from my experience, people are, you know, saying that I don't deserve forgiveness and I'm not taking accountability. So I guess what does that look like for someone to take accountability?
Okay. So perhaps it's a matter of a situation where like two things can be true at the same time, right? That someone else might have done something harmful to you or something that required apology or remorse doesn't also mean that maybe you didn't do things that would also require an apology or remorse. So perhaps taking a look at that situation of, are there particular things that I did to contribute to this experience happening? That's where the accountability piece would take place. Not the I shoulda, woulda, couldas, because we can't change that, right? Like that's not helpful, but more so of like the actual data points, the actual facts of what occurred that everyone can observe. Okay, what did I do in those moments that I can take accountability for that I no longer want to do?
Totally. I've recognized that I wanted to make a change in my behavior, and I've done everything in my power to make that a reality for me. And so sometimes, like, I just need to remind myself to, you know, forgive the other people that are still holding it over my head, because they're not really in my personal life and they don't really know what I'm doing to take accountability and what I'm working towards. And then there's also this piece of like outside influence, like, oh, you need to apologize for this. Like, how would you approach like comments from the peanut gallery on if you need to forgive somebody or not, or if you should accept somebody's apology or not? Because right now on the show, Sheena is having a hard time. She's having a hard time because there's a conflict between the rest of the cast or the friends not wanting to forgive this person. But you can tell she's struggling because she does want to forgive this person, but then she's worried that if she forgives them, she's going to hurt somebody, one of her friends.
Yeah. So this is tricky and it's layered what you're talking about, because there's unfortunately such a big difference between the real world and reality TV. The reality is like there's cameras there, there's producers around, right? There's like things that have got to be recorded. But my answer for in the real world is, okay, just like we have to look to ignore when people are telling us what we should or shouldn't do, because like they don't have to live our real lives. I understand that in reality TV, when you're taping something, like that may not be a luxury that you have. So those are two separate pieces. Let me just focus on the real world part right now. If other people are telling you, oh, you should forgive, or you should do that, or you should do this, context is so important. Like those people aren't living your lives. They're not there. They don't know what's going on. So that it's not in our best interest to listen to the advice of others, because one, like it could backfire on us. Two, we're not learning how to do that for ourselves. And then three, we now then become dependent upon someone else to tell us what to do. And the reality is we're not going to always have someone present for us at every single moment. And then we don't know how to behave now, right? Where we're in a reality TV situation where maybe that's not as easily accessible to say, like, I'm not listening to what these people have to say. We have to think about, okay, how can we be the most true to ourselves? If maybe I'm told that I should be doing this, let me try to reflect on like why I'm being told that and like what would be the importance of this. And do I want to do this or not? Like, is this me being true to myself? And is there a way that I can speak to that in a way that I'd be proud of? Because I know that this is something that's going to be on national television that I'm going to have to like think about later on, right? And so the should I forgive, you know, I think something could be said to the point of what you just mentioned of everyone doesn't have all the information. You saw a quick snippet of what happened during this, you know, event, right? If people are saying Rachel has done something that's just so unforgivable, they don't know you. They don't know your story. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know what was even happening that day. There's something called dialectical behavioral therapy. We talk about chain analysis, right? Of like, here's this event that erupts. But we have to go and look through the chain of like what happened before that behavior, okay? To see like, why did this occur? To have better understanding of that individual. And so like, that's the piece where grace comes into place. So when we're thinking about if we want to forgive, why we want to forgive, are we taking accountability? Do we need to take accountability? We have to also examine the chain of events, which will then lead us to examining like our own vulnerabilities, right? Thinking about what kind of circumstances am I very vulnerable to? Am I highly triggered by that have me behaving in a way that's like out of character for me? right? And thinking about going forward, how can I work with those triggers? How can I more easily identify what those triggers are or what my vulnerabilities are? How can I also communicate those things to other people, trusted people, so they can know, like, okay, this is a vulnerable space for me, or this is a trigger for me. If you see me behaving this way, like, this is a sign that, like, I'm about to get to that eruption point. So I need to, like, exit stage left, or, like, do some sort of self-soothing or whatever the case may be. But it really does have to do with awareness, I think, awareness of ourselves and awareness of our environments.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you brought up DBT, because that is one of the therapy, what is it called? Like a therapy model that I got to explore at the Meadows. And I think important part in that is the yes and, or like two things can be true at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think it's important.
Absolutely. And that's part of DBT. Then you understand radical acceptance, right? It's the same thing for radical forgiveness, that it's something that benefits us, even if we don't agree with it. You don't have to agree with it. It's just the reality.
Okay. So this next question, I guess, personally, I have my own thoughts on it, but what would you say to somebody who wants to control, well, debatably, who their friends hang out with? Like, if somebody wronged you so bad that you were like, no, this is unforgivable, and you have mutual friends, and your friend is like, no, you shouldn't be friends with anyone who has done that to me. For this specific example, it would be Ariana putting up the boundaries for herself on her friends that are in this friend group.
Mm-hmm. So that's tricky. I think the part of a human response might be like, well, why would that person want to be friends with them? They know what they did to me. Like, this person is a bad person, right? We can't control anyone else. We can only control ourselves, right? And there's something to be examined of if we're trying to control who our friends are friends with. Because that other friend might be saying, it's horrible what they did to you, and I don't condone that, and I hate that. Though two things can be true at the same time, right? I don't have that experience with this person. That person and I get along just fine. They don't behave in that way. And it doesn't feel fair for me to now cut off this relationship with someone who I've had no issues with. Mm-hmm. So the antidote to that would be boundary setting. Okay, that's cool. But guess what? Please don't invite me into shared spaces where that person's going to be, because I am no longer friends with that person. I don't want to be around them. Please don't tell me what's going on in their life. Like, I don't want to hear about it. Like, let's just respect the boundaries that, like, me and this person no longer coexist. So you and I can maintain our friendship. You and her keep your friendship over there. So that's the piece of controlling yourself, because you can't control the other person.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah, that makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I feel like I've kind of had to deal with some of that on my own, too, because I've cut this person out of my life as well. And we still have mutual friends. And I'm not telling anyone not to be friends with him, because it's ultimately your own decision and at your own risk. Like, you have the data points, as you were saying, mm-hmm. as to what this person is capable of and how they've wronged me. So it's like, continue at your own risk. But I feel like everyone should be able to have their own autonomy to make that decision for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, it also doesn't take away the fact that, like, it can suck initially, where you're kind of like, why are my friends hanging out with this person? Didn't I just tell you what this person did? And so I'm not suggesting that, like, overnight you're going to be like, yes, you know, they can be friends and I'm over here. It takes that growth, and it takes some time and distance away from the situation to be able to maturely say, okay, you know, engage at your own risk. I'll be over here. We can give some grace to the fact that there are some times where you're allowed to be really pissed about that.
Mm-hmm. Is there a grieving process with forgiveness?
Oh, I would say absolutely, because there's often a loss there, right? Whether that's a loss of how you perceived that person, it could be, you know, whatever happened, maybe now there's a loss of that relationship dynamic, or a loss of a perception, like that image you had of that person, or maybe a loss of trust now, a loss of respect. And that's truly what grief is about. It's about loss. And so that's why I say that, you know, that forgiveness can take some time, because you do have to mourn whatever that relationship dynamic was or whatever that experience was to even be able to think clearly. So that's why, to your earlier point of like, what if you just like quickly say, you know, I forgive you. You haven't had time to mourn or process or really think about it.
I think there's also like that grieving process of, this isn't the person that I thought he was. Like, I had this idea of who this person was, and he was somebody that really cared about me and respected me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, what he did conflicts with that, because he didn't care. You know, he didn't ask for consent. He didn't care if I didn't want to be recorded. Mm-hmm. And he did it anyway. So, yeah, that grief of like, and acceptance of like, this person isn't the person that I thought he was. And I have to accept that. And if I deny that, then I'm not living in reality.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, using the example of grief, I'm so glad that you added that to this. We know that grief is not a linear process. I don't know that forgiveness also could be a linear process, right? Like, for example, depending on the situation, we might have to, before we can get to that truly, you know, accepting the grieving process and really sitting with the fact of, this person is not who I thought they were, so on and so forth, we might have to take action first before that, for safety reasons, right? That boundary might need to be put up where I'm not around that person anymore before you can even get to that point of truly processing and thinking about, oh my gosh, what happened? What did they do to me? Who is this person? For safety reasons, or even just like for logistical reasons. But you're absolutely right that mourning process does need to occur to like have that true radical forgiveness.
Yeah, it was such a process too, because you know, I was still talking to him when I was in the meadows, and then I was beginning to process through this violation. And then, you know, I decided for myself that I'm cutting off all communication, and I blocked his number in my phone the day that I got my phone back leaving treatment. And as I mentioned earlier, I rewatched the Bethany Frankel interview, and I wasn't very expressive of how he's wronged me or like certain specifics, like, because I didn't want to throw him under the bus. And then like time has passed and I've processed more. And now with my podcast, it's like, okay, I'm much more open with it. And I've been able to process through that even more. So yes, just validating that it is definitely a process.
And that process will look different for every person, right? Like, some people might feel like, okay, if I keep bringing these things up or giving more information, it's not healthy for me. Other people feel like, no, I have to put a name to this, because when we're not naming something, we're like feeding into it, right? And I don't know that there's necessarily a right or wrong. I think it's specific to that individual and their healing journey.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. This show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Does forgiveness look different in love relationships versus friendship?
Well, I think it depends, right? So, for example, if we're talking about marriage, that's this like, you know, lifelong commitment that we've agreed to make with someone where we have more at stake or more at risk or a higher level of commitment, right? Where we've signed up to, whether it's just legally or whether it's, you know, religiously as well, that we are with this person, you know, till death do us part, minus some sort of egregious thing, that perhaps we're more susceptible to forgive that life partner. Or perhaps we're more susceptible to forgive family members because these are people that, like, yes, we can sever ties with family. Yes, we can sever ties with a spouse. It's just not as easy, right, as it might be with a friend. So I think that that's perhaps part of the nuance, in my opinion, then, if we're married or there's a family tie, we might be more likely to forgive in those situations. Whereas friendships, now, some people we've been friends with for 20, 30 years and only blood would make us family, right? Where it's like, yeah, that same thing applies versus, okay, this is someone I just met a couple of weeks ago. Do I want to forgive them and continue on with the relationship? Or do I see that as a data point of like, I don't know about this person. Like, let me just go, you know, remove myself from them. Like, I don't even want to entertain the idea of maybe they'll be a different person or, you know, maybe I'm going to give them another chance. I think that's a personal preference. But I do think that it could be different in friendship relationships versus a marital relationship, or even someone that you're seriously dating or even cohabitating with, because you get to see more sides of them, right? Like with our friends, we're not getting to see all sides of one another. And there's not that higher level of commitment as there might be in a marriage.
So what happens when somebody forgives someone before they're actually ready? Is that where grudges happen?
I think that's absolutely why grudges happen, or why drama occurs, because we're saying too early that we've forgiven someone and then it comes back up again. So whether it's the grudge, whether it's the resentment, whether it's drama, whether it's continued behavior, it doesn't necessarily serve us or that other person to forgive so soon.
I think that's interesting too, like how you were saying reality TV isn't reality. Such a good point, because it's like, okay, are you holding this grudge because you know it's drama and you know it's going to be entertaining and you know that you have a job to do on this show? Or are you genuinely like not over it and feel like this is, you know, necessary to talk about to move on? Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
That's tricky. And I don't know who might have the answer to that, because it could be a combination of all things, right? Like one cast member might be there for TV only, and they are trying to stir the pot because it's going to make for good content. And now they're getting more airtime. More airtime means a bigger check, which means bigger opportunities, right? Are there also people who are like, I'm just here being my genuine self, like, and y'all just happen to catch it on film? But now you put those two type of people together, and it's hard for people in it as well as the viewers to see like who's real and who's in it to make content. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it makes it difficult to be like, am I forgiving this person or am I forgiving this act that they put on for TV?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does definitely make it more complicated. Okay, so just to pull from some examples from this season of Vanderpump Rules, we're seeing, like I mentioned earlier, Sheena wanting to forgive Tom because he's been a good friend to her in the past. And then we also see Katie really, you know, it seems like she's holding some resentment. It seems like she isn't willing to forgive the past. And I think she has her own personal reasons for that, given her relationship and how that played out. But Katie keeps saying to Sheena, like, that doesn't matter because that was years ago that he was a good friend to you. And, you know, we need to look at who this person is today. And maybe the answer to that is like each person should make their own decisions on whether or not they're going to forgive that person. And each person should be willing to let other people make those decisions for themselves.
Absolutely. Because I think even though sometimes it can be human nature and also it can be the nature of a reality television show to have a group of people get together and talk about something that just happened, in the real world, I don't know how healthy that is, because now we start to engage in groupthink, right? Like we're not able to formulate our own opinion. We're kind of going off of, oh, well, you know, she said that was 20 years ago. Like I should be over that. Or, you know, he said that, you know, they're not like this with me. So now it's causing you to doubt yourself and second guess yourself and look to someone else to give you information on how you should operate and behave, which isn't good. I do also recognize that in the context of a reality television show, that might be difficult to do because you're put into these scenarios where there have to be these group conversations. And so in that, you can listen to what someone else is saying and then at the end of the day, still formulate your own opinion and your own decision.
How would you avoid that? I'm thinking like journaling or, you know, working on therapy sessions one-on-one to formulate your own opinions on situations.
Yeah. So whatever that looks like for you, whether it's journaling, whether it's meditating, whether it's therapy, whether it's just literally taking notes. So having that time alone with yourself, I think is extremely important because that's the only way you're going to understand how you're thinking or feeling about a situation. I know that a lot of times, and I'm going to be stereotypical as I say this, a lot of times as women, we want to get up and call our girlfriend. I'm totally guilty of that. Of like, oh my God, can you believe this just happened, you know, to kind of vent or get it off your chest. And more times than not, that friend is going to now give you their opinion, right? And even if you do agree with that, it's still like putting information into your mind before you're able to truly like process it for yourself. So as best you can to take time before you're venting with anyone else or sharing with anyone else, jot down for yourself, what am I thinking about this? What am I feeling about this? What the hell just happened from my own perspective before I invite anyone else into that conversation?
Great advice. Well, I just want to thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Pia. You are so intelligent and so insightful. So thank you for giving us your knowledge today.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to Rachel Goes Rogue. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok for exclusive video content at Rachel Goes Rogue Podcast.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.